Welcome to the podcast series Traveling Concepts on Air, hosted by myself, Tessa Diporn,
and Brianne McGonigal-Lai.
We both work at Utrecht University.
I am a legal scholar and she is an anthropologist.
And we're both part of the Contesting Governance research platform within the Institutions for Open Societies.
In this podcast series, we want to critically question the promise and ideal of interdisciplinarity by focusing on traveling concepts.
Traveling concepts refers to concepts that travel within and across disciplines.
Do such concepts encourage and enhance interdisciplinarity?
Or do they create confusion and perhaps even obstruct collaboration?
These are some of the questions we want to discuss.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Now, this is a really sad episode because it's our very, very last one. We had a last substantial recording, but this is the last time that the two of us, well, maybe not, maybe in the future we'll record something, but for this series, this is our last one. So we've had three wonderful seasons, and we decided to end the series. It's not because we don't enjoy it anymore, but because we're simply completely overwhelmed and overloaded with a range of other tasks, are too busy, and I also very much believe in the power of three. It's been three seasons, so we need to end at a high. So what we're going to do today...
I can't even look at you. I'm getting teary-eyed.
Stop.
I got to look down. So for those of you who don't remember who never listened to our first episode, the idea of this podcast emerged during our time as members of the Utrecht Young Academy, where we had fantastic discussions on interdisciplinarity in education, in research. I learned so much from that experience, and we read together with others an introduction to Mika Ball's book on traveling concepts. And it was hard to get through, I must say. Like, I was really challenged reading across my disciplinary boundaries and learned so much from this text. So a huge thank you to Susanna Knittel, but also to João Trubatru, who introduced us to these texts and the notion of threshold concepts, especially to João for the threshold concepts.
And actually, a lot of the people that were in that room when we read this were actually on our show.
Yes,
or on this
series. Broke them all into it.
They've also have been involved in this in one way or another. So that's been a good moment as well.
Yeah, and I mean, we had talked about it for a long time. We kept saying, oh, we should do a podcast on this. We should exchange ideas. Yeah.
And you had this idea. This is really your idea.
Yeah, I got really into podcasts at some point. I still am. I love them. And it was when COVID hit that we were stuck at home. And I said, come on, Tessa, let's do it. Let's just actually get it done and see how it works. And if it works, great. And if not, no worries. At least we like hanging out. So, I must say, you were much more professionally minded. Tessa was like, if we're going to do it, we have to do it right.
Got to do it right. You want to just to do everything online? I was like, no.
No, and even with the jingle, I mean, you were great. I mean, Tessa has a million friends, no surprise there, but she's like, I know a professional designer, and I know a professional editor, and I know a professional musician, and everything just fell into place, and it was awesome.
Yeah. So actually, we got a lot of other people involved to do it. So that actually took quite a bit of time to get everything started. But it worked. And I must say that during those times, actually, all of us were working at home. This was one of the things that gave me a lot of energy.
Oh my God.
It was
Same.
Like getting out of the house, having really fun conversations with people. It took a lot of time, but it was also something that gave us a lot of energy. So what have we done so far? So that's kind of what we want to do now. It's just, briefly reflect together on what these three seasons have been like. And let me list all of the concepts we have recorded so far. So we have, in season one, we did war, sustainability, time, civil society, heritage, agency, legitimacy, transformation, and diplomacy.
Season two, we started with sea level, then surveillance, equilibrium, security, facts, sovereignty, queer, violence, youth, and crisis.
Yep. And then in season three, we've done imagination, risk, privacy, experiment, institutions, efficiency, border, and labor.
Oh, man. I see in that list, like that's...
It's a lot. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
So many conversations. And so as of today, our goal was 10,000 downloads for all the episodes. And we're just over 9,500. So we are almost there.
Yeah.
So
happy about that.
I'm hoping actually that by the time this is aired and everybody's listening to this, that we've hit the 10,000. We'll let you know if you follow us on Twitter. But if we haven't, I would say download away.
And share with students especially.
Yeah. Also interesting, our most listened to episode is also our very first one, namely War, with our guests Yola Demers and Catherine Fortin. And we have some other milestones as well, but I think probably it's very safe to say that more than 10 of our recordings that we had planned were postponed or canceled.
So a shout out to our assistants who have helped us along the way and dealt with these challenges.
Yeah, this has definitely been... This would have probably been one of the easier parts of doing it online, is that we would have... It would have been easier to make, but we particularly wanted to do it in person.
Yeah.
And of course, we send hundreds of emails also by our student assistants, but also about us, about scheduling this podcast and making this podcast. So there's been a lot of digital traffic in that sense. So actually, the recordings and the episodes that all of you see are just a very kind of small glance into actual work that goes into this podcast series.
Yeah. So what did we learn through all of this? Well, one of the key goals of the series was to learn more about interdisciplinarity.
Yeah.
To explore this promise and ideal of interdisciplinarity. For us, Traveling Concepts, as it was originally outlined by Mika Ball, was a way for us to explore this and to think about how these concepts travel through disciplines, but also through certain individuals, certain authors. That's been a really interesting thing that has come out of the talks and conversations with people. Oh, someone would reference an author and the other person would say, oh, yeah, of course I use them. Yeah, of course. Or they write down the name because they hadn't yet used an author from a different discipline and immediately found it super useful and relevant to their own work. I think that's great. Our podcast also served as an inspiration for a special issue that we worked on together with others from the Utrecht Young Academy. And we did publish this issue in the Journal of Interdisciplinary Studies in Education.
Yeah.
And Tessa and I wrote an article together on how we use traveling concepts and podcasting in our education. And that was super fun to write together.
Yeah. And actually the whole special issue is basically about... we use kind of the metaphor of traveling concepts and how other colleagues of ours have used it in various forms of education. So if you're interested in interdisciplinarity in education and kind of implementing ways to kind of prompt students or to get students start thinking about interdisciplinarity, this special issue kind of shows the different ways in which we've done that, but kind of centered around the notion of traveling concepts. So it's also been very useful for us in thinking about how to use how to experiment with interdisciplinarity in education.
And, because what we learned actually along the way is that predominantly conversations around interdisciplinarity were for research purposes. And it was for problem solving, big problems, complex problems, wicked problems. And what we've tried to do is really reflect on how we can then bring that into a classroom setting. So I've certainly learned a lot over the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool ways that we were also able to kind of experiment with that firsthand was Brianne and I were both invited to give seminars together for the Graduate Honors Interdisciplinary Seminars Program, which our university has. So these are basically extra seminar sessions provided for master's students. And we had four seminars where we would talk about our own work, so how we've worked together on policing and security. But what we particularly did is that we focused on the podcast and used the idea of traveling concepts. And we reflect on our experiences in this article that we published together. And actually with the help of a dear colleague of ours at U, Iris van der Tuin, we created what she called this pressure cooker. So students from different disciplinary backgrounds, basically they sit together and they, in about 15, 20 minutes, have to come up with a concept that exists in both of their disciplines that they approach differently. And then based on that, make a short episode of about 10 minutes on this particular concept. And many of you have probably heard it because we had two seasons in season 2 and 3. We had these holiday specials where we selected a few of these episodes that the students made. And the concepts that they chose were behavior, prediction, resilience, consciousness, and environment. And so in kind of this, in our article for this special issue, we reflect also on the importance of active learning in kind of grasping interdisciplinarity. So by making the podcast themselves and engaging in these conversations among each other, they were really able to learn more about interdisciplinarity rather than just reading about it or hearing us talk about our experience. But yeah, it was through their own real active engagement and involvement that they did that. So that was definitely a learning curve for us in that regard.
It was great. I mean, and both of us really drew from knowledge that was shared in a university-wide course that's offered to educators here at Utrecht University on interdisciplinary education. We followed it at different times, but actually it created a fantastic network, I think, for both of us. Learning about different approaches to interdisciplinary education. So we use predominantly traveling concepts combined with a REPCO four-step approach. Others use boundary crossing. And I think what's really great is, as an educator, you can think about what metaphors, what systems, what frameworks work for you in the way that you approach interdisciplinary education.
Yeah.
And then, maybe a plug for how REPCO came in, if our listeners are like, oh, I haven't heard of that. REPCO essentially came up with a 10-step approach, which our university has kind of condensed to four, and we found a four-step approach really useful in that you first start with your disciplinary grounding. And that's harder than you would think. So particularly for those of us who have come from different disciplinary backgrounds, but where do you identify at the moment? Which discipline really resonates for you at the moment? And then how does that discipline specifically think about a particular concept? And then it's about, the second step is perspective taking. Having a better understanding of how other disciplines may then approach a concept different from your own. The third step is finding common ground or identifying where the tensions are between the various disciplines. And then the final step is integration, and that's where the new insights maybe come about and new ideas through working through those tensions and building on that common ground.
Yeah. And it was actually really interesting that by both of us following this is what we call the Leergang of this course, we actually realized that in this episode, we have been following exactly these four steps. So we've been asking our guests to reflect on their own way that they use a concept, so their own kind of process of disciplinary grounding. Then through these conversations, they take perspective, they learn from other disciplines. In some episodes, we found a common ground. In many, we did not. Yeah. It stopped kind of at perspective taking. And then, of course, the last kind of stage in this model is integration. And we really learned actually through this podcast series as well that this is very difficult and actually really rarely happens. I think we had three episodes where we can see some form of integration. So we have it with C-level. Definitely that was like full-on integration. With privacy, I also saw it a bit. So we had two people who really kind of learned or both developed in their own fields other ways of learning about thinking about privacy. And of course, the episode on time, where we had two scholars who basically had
goosebumps in that episode.
We just had basically developed a whole model to kind of show how they could integrate their different perspectives and compare them with each other and relate to one another. I mean, this is
and
really...
that was to remind our listeners, that was a geologist and a literary scholar really integrating ideas around deep time.
I
really loved that episode.
Yeah, and they also then through this kind of system, they've created ways to teach together. So this is this was definitely interesting, but it really showed us that integration, so really coming up with something new through our interdisciplinary conversations, is just really, it's really difficult and it really requires a lot of work. So that was definitely also something we learned. We also, I think, realized that there are some concepts that are inherently interdisciplinary. So we saw that with legitimacy, institutions, border, labor. There are just some that maybe stem from a particular field, but have become so
all-encompassing. Yeah.
And I think that's also really interesting. That's something that could be explored even further. So why is it that certain concepts are inherently interdisciplinary, and how does it define kind of the field, or what does that mean for researchers that are involved in those fields? A lot of new ideas.
What assumptions get made?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that could be another podcast for somebody else to explore.
So some personal lessons.
Yes. Well,
I think we both learned that we love podcasting.
Yeah.
We like to talk.
Yeah. But we also like to ask other people questions.
That is true. I have learned. That's been the best, actually, learning from others. I mean, you guys, the listeners can't see, but I am vigorously taking notes throughout all of the episodes. I get so many different ideas to bring into my own research and teaching. So now I've thoroughly enjoyed doing it. So.
So for me as well, I've learned a lot about podcasting. I've also started to use it a lot more in my teaching. And I'm actually, together with a colleague, Marlene Schaefers, we applied for funding and we'll be teaching a podcasting lab in our anthropology department. So it's got me very interested in using podcasts as in kind of my own education, but also as a research method. So I have an upcoming research project, and I would really like to experiment a little bit more with podcasting as a kind of form of a participatory research method, and also rather than writing an article about some of my findings, is to present that in a podcast. So I hope that in a few years from now, I'll have a podcast series about something completely different. So that's really gotten me inspired. And I must say this, and I'm curious how you have this. I think I have a new refound love for anthropology as a discipline. This podcast has really helped me think. It's been one big disciplinary grounding. I think it really helped me learn a lot about my discipline and about that actually, to my surprise, in a lot of conversation, anthropology emerged. So it's actually been really interesting for me to hear that many people are inspired by anthropology. I think sometimes we think that we're a bit of a minority discipline that is not taken seriously. So this was a very good, and it really made me realize that I'm very proud and very happy to be an anthropologist. So that was, I guess, a love for my own field. Did this give you anything about law for you?
It did. I mean, I definitely realized I have 4 degrees and 2 are not from law, but this really made me realize I definitely identify more as a legal scholar than a non-legal scholar. Which is maybe a little, I didn't expect that as much.
No.
But I definitely, when others were talking, I would immediately be thinking, immediately from the legal perspective. And I didn't expect to do that as much as I did. But I absolutely loved it. We did notice anecdotally that there's a lot of traveling to law and that there's much less traveling from law to other disciplines. And that is something I would like to unpack.
That is really so. I think people recognize the law and they recognize like the importance of a legal perspective, but don't...
To an extent.
Yeah.
To an extent.
But don't really kind of...
Get back in your corner.
Yeah. But don't really incorporate it and kind of move like... further developing their way of thinking somehow. It's really, what is that? I think that's something,
I want to explore that. And just like you're going to be starting a new podcast on your new endeavors.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to explore this notion of traveling concepts specifically within human rights law as such.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of core concepts that are used within the human rights field. And I'm interested in how they have traveled or not within law.
Yeah.
And from the outside into law, but specifically how the legal field has grappled with these
new
concepts.
This basically means that you aren't done with us yet. And you'll hear us in other... Shaves before. So do we have any regrets? There's a lot of concepts that we didn't do that I would have liked to have done.
Yeah.
One of them that I really wanted to, you were always a bit skeptical, was infrastructure. but there's many more that we had on our list. We had resilience.
Yeah. Trauma. The students did resilience, so I thought that was
good. Yeah. Trauma.
Trauma would have
development,
been
development, culture, death. And I had, I think I had it even things like gender. I always felt that that was too big of a concept, but yeah. There was a lot of other things that we had on our list that we never got around to. Yeah.
Maybe in the future, someone can.
We could have had a little bit more diversity in guests.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we definitely pulled from colleagues that we work with, colleagues that were recommended to us. But yeah, that's something that I think we could have.
Yeah, we drew a lot from our own field, but we could have been a bit more diverse and on disciplines, but maybe also in terms of, you know, background of speakers. And we drew a lot, of course, from UU, from people from Utrecht University, which also we felt was logical because we're being, you know, financially supported by the university. So it was also a way to kind of showcase the research of some of our colleagues, but maybe if we would have done everything online, we could have also had like international speakers, but we chose not to do that. I don't necessarily regret that, but it would have given a different, I guess, twist to the show. What are some of your favorite episodes, Brianne? Do you have a favorite episode?
Oh, I have a couple favorite episodes. So, I mean, it is the most listened to. War, I absolutely loved. I also enjoyed Agency.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Queer. I learned a lot. I enjoyed, there's so many. I took something away from each of them. Equilibrium, I really enjoyed because it was an economist and a chemist. And I was thinking, and I don't at all use this concept. It's the other concepts, they come across my work in some way, but equilibrium, not at all. Sea level also.
Yeah, sea level was definitely one of my favorites because we were a bit skeptical about it at first.
Yeah.
So it was really a lesson learned for us. This was definitely, I was blown away by sea level.
Yeah. Honestly.
And of course time, but we've mentioned time a lot, but that's just also that, I mean.
We get goosebumps with time.
It's almost a poetic episode. And I think personally, I enjoy really much the one on security. That's also, I use it a lot in my teaching and students really like it.
Yeah. I use the civil society one in my teaching.
Yeah. And so I guess I've also listened to that episode more often because I think, oh yeah, that's what it's about. And, we don't want to say that we prefer some over others, but there have been some episodes that have stuck with us. And more, maybe
usually because they resonated with our research.
Or that we've learned just a lot from. And So
to our listeners, we hope that you can continue benefiting from these episodes, use them in your teaching, share them with your colleagues. We really appreciate any feedback that you have for us. Definitely reach out to us. Let us know.
Our account will still be active on Twitter. We're not completely shutting down. Well, it's not Twitter anymore, but I refuse to call it by its new name. So we're still active. So you can always send us a message with any ideas you have.
Absolutely. And we have some thank yous.
But plus, we're open to replacements.
Oh, yes.
So this was really our, it was kind of our baby. Yeah. We do have a patent on this idea of traveling concepts on air and the logo and all of that jazz. But we're open to the idea that two other people, so if there are people out there who would like to take this on and continue with this podcast, you are more than welcome. So we offer this as a gift to whoever would like to do this. Our only criteria is that they are from two different departments or faculties. So this can't be two anthropologists or two sociologists. So do we have any other criteria?
Well, no. I mean, a little bit around the format. I mean, we like the format. But tweaks here and there would be most welcome.
I think at one point, if we let it go, we have to just let it go. So if there are people who are interested and would like to take this over from us,
reach out,
send us an email or a message, and we will definitely, we'll consider it, seriously consider it.
Yeah. And the thank yous.
Yes, there's a lot of thank yous. So I would like to thank Sylvia, who was the designer and designed our logo. I also really want to thank Evert Alte, a dear friend of mine who I've known for a long time from Scandal Studios, who is our kind of producer, who has done all the mixing and all the editing.
He's been awesome.
And has just advised us in so many ways. So he's been amazing.
And of course, our first student intern, Bavo Oost. What a joy to work with him. Yeah. I mean, he was wonderful.
Yeah. Then we've been funded, luckily, by several kind of organizations. So we want to thank our first kind of, which was a contesting governance platform, which is the platform that we're both based in, which is within the Institutions for Open Society. So we also want to thank IOS as well, because they also gave us funding through another scheme. And we want to thank the Utrecht Young Academy, which has also financially supported us. So these have been our really core sources of funding that made all of this possible.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the resources, I think that's something we can say. If you don't have the resources to make a podcast, you have to do all of the work yourself, and then it's a full-time job. And yeah, we would not have been, this would have been impossible without that support. So
absolutely.
Thank you for that.
And after Bavo, we were blessed to have another student assistant working with us, and that's Meryl Moss. She, for 2 years now, she comes with such energy, such ideas. Yeah. We now have merchandise because of her.
Yeah.
She's been fantastic.
Yeah, so thanks to her as well. We, of course, also have to thank Javina Bell, who is the coordinator of the Contesting Governance Platform, who's also really assisted us in just organizing stuff and getting things sorted.
And Hans Schirmann, he not only lets us use the podcasting studio, but I mean, he's been here helping us along the ways from the very beginning. So for 3 years now, guiding us with the recordings and the equipment and the studio room.
Yeah. And of course, we want to thank all of our guests. So everybody that came on all of our episodes, also to the students who made the episodes, but particularly all our guests who made the time to come here and sit in this room with us and talk and share their stories and their experience with us. That has been really great. And of course, our
listeners.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for almost getting us to 10,000 downloads. If you really like us, you'll just keep downloading so we get to that. So
and to each other.
So, yes.
Oh my gosh. I really might cry. Tessa, this has been absolutely a fantastic journey. I've loved every single second of it. So maybe we can have a reunion podcast in the future, but I've absolutely loved it.
Me too. Thank you so much for everything. Brianna is a rock star and an inspiration in so many ways. So thank you so much. Luckily, we see each other on other accounts.
Yeah.
But this was always...
This is our signing off.
This is our signing off. So thank you so much, everyone. And till next time, whenever that may be.
Thanks for joining us for this session of Traveling Concepts on Air.
For more information, please visit Utrecht University's Contesting Governance Platform website.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, email us at contestinggovernance@uu.nl.
Please subscribe and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And more importantly, spread the word with your colleagues and friends. Till next time.